The story is told about a young man called W.P. McKay. He left his home for college. And as he took his leave from his mother, she reached forth and she gave him a Bible. And on the flyleaf of the Bible, she wrote his name and her name and a Bible verse. And this young man left home to go to study for the medical profession. After years of careful study, he became a brilliant student and became head of the largest hospital in Edinburgh. But he also lived a very wicked life. He was elected president of a society of atheists. He lived for the pleasures of the world and he lived for the pleasures of sin. He forgot all his mother and father had taught him. Cast aside all teachings. He lived a very, very wicked life. It is recorded as he worked one day in hospital, a young man was carried into the hospital, fearfully injured. And the young man looked up to this doctor and he asked him this question. He says, "What is my condition and I want the truth?" Well, the surgeon said to him, "You have 3 hours at the most." The young man's face lit up. He told the surgeon that he had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he looked up to the surgeon and he says to him, "Would you send somebody to my landlady and tell her to send me the book?" And the surgeon looked at him and says, "Well, what book is that?" He says, send somebody to the landlady and to say, "Send me the book. She'll know what book it is." And so the surgeon went and he said to somebody, "Listen, go into the landlady where he lives and bring the book to him." And the surgeon went on in his duties working around the wards. And then later on he thought to himself, "I better go and see how this young man is doing." And as he was coming to wards where the young man was, he met a nurse. And he says, "How is he?" She said, "He's dead. He's only dead a few minutes ago." He says, "Did he get the book?" She says, "Yes." He said, "Well, it's his bank book, isn't it?" She says, "No, it's not, but it's under his pillow." And so the surgeon went into the ward where the young man and I was lying. He put his hand under the pillow and he took out a book. And it was the Bible. And as he opened up the book, he saw his name on it, the name of his mother, and the Bible verse that she had written down all those years ago. You see, he had sold the Bible. He had cast the Bible to the side. He had lived for the world. He had lived for sin. Now he was standing face to face with this Bible his mother had given him many years ago. And the man was broken. And he went into her room and he fell upon his knees. And he cried unto God, "God, have mercy upon my soul." And he was saved. And this great physician, he became a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it a wonderful thing? Salvation is real, isn't it? There's a reality about the salvation that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is nothing more than a great miracle. How Christ comes to a sinner's heart and saves them and washes them in his blood and gives them a new life. What a marvelous testimony this man had. Friends, all because of a book. The Bible. And so mothers in the meeting, take heart. If you have given your children the Bible and they've went astray, just wait. Pray on. And press on. Here in this passage we have the Apostle Peter and John being persecuted for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're standing, remember, they're standing here among people who hate the gospel. Who hate the Lord Jesus Christ. But these men are not afraid. No, they're standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, when they looked at them, Peter and John, they perceived They had been with Jesus. They saw their boldness. And Peter remembers looking at these religious men, up to the neck in religion. He had a message for them. He had a message of salvation. He says to them the words of our text, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." What a wonderful message that was brought to these men. Lord, he's telling them, there's no other Savior. No other Savior. And great truths of salvation. And I want to say three simple things from our text tonight. Peter, looking at these men, he reminded them of their need for salvation. And look what he says, the great apostle Peter. He says, we must be saved. And here's the absolute necessity of being saved. We must be saved. It is not an option. It is not something that man can cast to the one side. No, no. It is something that man needs. He needs to be saved. And you see here, it's a universal need. He said, we must be saved. And he's referring here not just to some men. He's not saying to these religious Jews, the Gentiles, you know those Gentiles, they run after idols, sacrifice to devils, they need to be saved. He's not just saying the Gentiles need to be saved. So they did. He's not saying, well, it's just the Jewish people, we need to be saved. That's not the case. It's all men. He's talking about everybody. In fact, he put himself right into the mix. Peter and John, these men of God, he says, listen, we must be saved. It's a universal need. Looking at these religious men right in the eyes, he tells them, we must be saved. That's a universal need. Why would this be so? The Jewish people could say, how am I as bad as these Gentiles, idolaters, devil worshippers? I was brought up in a synagogue. I've learned the catechisms. I know the law of God. I can quote many passages of the Bible from memory. How is it I need to be saved? Listen, their sin is universal. All men need to be saved, including the Jews. Because all men have sinned. That's why. That's why Peter could say it here to these people. We must be saved. Because Peter realized all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he knew the Bible said in Ecclesiastes 7 verse 24, there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. He knew this to be true in his heart and in his life. So he could say, we must be saved. Everybody needs to be saved. For everybody has sinned. And that's the same with the meeting here tonight. Those inside are meeting here tonight, and those outside are meeting. We must be saved, as the Bible says. Because everybody in this place has broken the holy law of God, maybe in different ways, of course, idolatry, lust or lies, blasphemy, stealing, murder, whatever the case may be. But here's the great truth about all of us here tonight in this meeting. We have all sinned against the Lord. We have all failed. We have all broken His law many, many times. And maybe there's some in the meeting tonight, you're taking up the very law of God and you're breaking it in hundreds of pieces every day. Dear friends, you need to be saved. If you learn nothing else tonight, and I hope you will learn other things, of course, you need to be saved. You must be saved. Because the universal need, the sin is universal. And their guilt is universal. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, now we know what things soever the law saith. It saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. And notice these words. That all the world may become guilty. Guilty before God. Notice what he's saying here. All the world. Not just some of it. But all the world becomes guilty before God. The guilt is universal. The sin is universal. And in this meeting tonight, on See a Person, I want you to see how God sees right into your heart tonight, how he sees into your life. You're guilty. You're guilty in God's sight. You're sinful in God's sight tonight in this meeting. Maybe you didn't need me to come down from on along today to tell you that. But we're here to tell you it here tonight. We've got to preach the truth. We've got to show people how they are before the holy God of heaven, according to his word. And your sin has made you guilty before God. And the condemnation is universal as well. It's the same thing for everybody. This is tremendous. For everybody in the world, there's one law, my friends. Romans 6 verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. That's the same for everybody. I could go to Australia tonight and preach, it's the same law. I could go to Africa tonight and preach, it's the same. It's the same for all men everywhere. Men and women all over the world have sinned against God. And dear friends, the condemnation is universal. It's death for them all. Everyone. Sinning against God is a serious thing. It has put a person, of course, on the way to hell. And Ephesians 2 verse 3 says, and were by nature the children of wrath. And the Lord Jesus Christ, remember, he looked at those religious rulers in Matthew 23 and verse 33. Know the question he asked them. The Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed Son of God, he says to them, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? That's what he said to these religious people. You see, the condemnation is universal. He said, how are you going to escape it? This is the teaching of the Bible. That man has sinned against God. He's guilty. He's lost. He's heading down that broad road that leads to hell forever and forever. And so we find him, we come to the Bible. He must be saved. That's the message Peter's preaching. Peter's preaching this message. He's showing here the universal need. We must be saved. The Philippian jailer, when he was awakened by the earthquake, over in the book of Acts chapter 16, he came in verse 30, he cried with all his heart, sir, what must I do to be saved? And there's someone tonight in the meeting, that's the cry of your heart. Do you recognize tonight your lost estate in God's sight? That you need to be saved. From the presence, from the power, the punishment of sin in your life. You see, here's a universal need. You must be saved. I meet people, you know, on the door-to-door work and other places as well. They say, oh, I don't believe in this word, saved. Don't like it. But whether I like it or not, my friends, it's in the Bible. The teaching of the Word of God is this, and it's very simple. We must be saved from our sins, from the punishment of sin. That's what God says. And I want you tonight in this meeting, if you're unconverted, I want you to listen what God says. He's saying you must be saved. That's what he tells us. I didn't know that one time in my life at all. You know, I didn't know I had to be saved. I wasn't brought up in a Christian home like some people in the church. I did not know it. I did not know I was lost. I did not know I was a sinner in God's sight. I did not know that I was going down to hell. But I heard the message one day and I heard this. I had to be saved. It's a universal need. He's speaking about the need. The need, friends, of your heart and life is to be saved. And there's an urgent need as well. You see this in the meaning of the word must. A very strong word that it can mean ought or should. He's saying here, you must. You must be saved. And the urgency is not only found in the meaning of the word, but in the moment of the wrath. You must be saved. Here's why they had to be saved. Because at that particular time, they were lost. And friends, the Bible says this. They were condemned already. That's serious stuff. In John 3 and verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Already. In John 3 verse 36, but he that believeth not, the Son shall not see life. Listen, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's now, presently. Abideth means to abide or to dwell. It's really like a dark cloud hanging over the heart and life of somebody who's not saved. They're under God's wrath at this moment. That's a very solemn thing, friends. I mean, sinners. There might be somewhere tonight, maybe sitting around the shore of Portrush, licking a big ice cream. And do they realize, look up. They're under the wrath of God. They may go home tonight. They may be sitting in their armchairs, but they're under the wrath of God. They may go to their beds tonight, but above their bed is condemned already. They're under the wrath of God. And there's only God's mercy that's stopping this falling upon them. And that's the same tonight for anybody in this meeting unsaved. Here's an urgent need. You had to be saved. You're in great trouble. You're under God's wrath. At any moment in time, God could let that cloud of wrath open up and fall upon you. At any moment in time. Do you see why Peter said, and John, we must be saved? You're in great trouble. You're far away from God tonight in this meeting. And Peter is preaching about the need of it. The need of God's salvation. We must be saved. And that's for everybody in this meeting tonight. We're not picking somebody out and say, oh, you must be saved, but not me. Or not so-and-so in the back or the front. No, no, no. We're not saying they have to be saved, but we're saying you have to be saved. That is not so tonight in this meeting. It's true of all of us. We're all in the same. We're all painted with the same brush, as we say. We must be saved. To get to heaven, you must be saved, friends. I want you to see that tonight. I hope God shows you your sinful state, your lost state tonight in this meeting. There's a great need here of salvation. We must be saved. And then he speaks about the name for this salvation. Someone has said here, 1,000 mercies all bound up in one bundle. In this sweet fact, there's salvation in Jesus Christ. And what glorious news this is for the sinner under the wrath of God. There's one who can save them. There's one who can save their guilty soul. His name is Jesus Christ. This is the message that Peter was preaching. He's speaking about the name for salvation. You can see that in verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He had used this name before because over in Acts chapter 2, in the day of Pentecost, he says, now when they heard this, verse 37, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And here's what Peter said to them in verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Friends, he's preaching about the name for salvation. He's telling us very plainly, it's in the name of Jesus Christ. This is where salvation is found. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's very plain. For everyone can see, young and old alike, in this meeting tonight, He's talking about the name for salvation. It is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you think of that name, you think about the placing of this name upon Christ. Sometimes we have children and we spend a lot of time and wondering, well, what are we going to call the child? Even though you're warning, you know a child is coming. Well, usually, even after a child is born, parents are still trying to make their mind up what to call the child. But you know something? We find in the Lord Jesus Christ, the name was picked for him. Because over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 20, talks about Joseph. And it says in verse 20, but while he thought on these things, remember he had heard that Mary was pregnant. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thy son of David, fear not to take unto him Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son. Listen. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Mary's going to have a son, and thou shalt call him. Here's the name. Here's the name for this child. His name is Jesus. And you can find in verse 25, he called him Jesus. We have the placing of this name. The Lord Jesus brought into the world this name placed upon him, the Son of God. And then we think of the purity of his name. You know, many in the Bible, they had a bad name. A bad name. You think there in Luke chapter 7 about a lady coming into the house of the Pharisee, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and washing his feet with her hair, with her tears, wiping his feet with her hair. And the old Pharisee looked and he says, oh, does this man not know this one that's touching him? She's a sinner. She had a bad name in the community, whatever it was. She had a bad name. The Pharisee knew all about her. Said, she's a sinner. And Judas Iscariot, says in Matthew 10, verse 4, and Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Listen, he had a bad name. But the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is a name that's pure. And Acts 4, verse 30, by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. The name of the holy child, Jesus. I tell you, friends, there's no name like the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He never sinned. He never swore. He never broke the law of the Father. The Bible tells us that he went about doing good. And Peter says in 1 Peter 2 and verse 22, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who did no sin. Not it was guile found in his mouth. No, there's no sin in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a pure name. As I said, those in Acts 10, verse 38, the testimony of Christ was he went about doing good. That's a good name. There's no name like the Lord Jesus Christ. Pure and holy, just and good, loving, kind. There's no one like him. And Peter is preaching to these men. He says, here's where salvation is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. His name. The purpose of the name. Remember, said to Joseph in Matthew 1, verse 21, she shall bring forth a son, and I shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. There's the meaning of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is very important information given to us here at the birth of the Son of God. Here's the reason he has come from heaven. Come into this world. He has come to save. That's the meaning of his name. Jesus means Savior. Savior. Peter has got it right as he's preaching here to these religious men in Acts chapter 4. He's a Savior of the world. When you come to the Bible, you'll see that. His appointment. 1 John 4, verse 14. Very, very familiar verse. But what tremendous truths are found in it. John said, we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son, listen, to be the Savior of the world. Notice that. God the Father sent his Son, what to do? To be the Savior of this world. He's been appointed to be the Savior. The authority. You think about his appointment. You think about his agony. As I said to you, he's a spotless Son of God. But the Bible tells me why this is true of the Lord Jesus Christ. He never sinned. He never rebelled against the Father's will. He never broke the law of God. But the Bible tells me that Christ went to the cross. And he bled and died upon the cross. As Peter said here in verse 10 to these men, know what he said to them? Whom ye crucified. He crucified him. The spotless Lamb of God. The Son of God who came into this world. Peter's bold. He's standing among people who hate the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, listen, whom ye crucified. You crucified him. You nailed him to the cross. We have the agony of the Savior. Well, dear friends, read the Gospels. You'll read how the Lord Jesus was bound. Mark 15, verse 1. They bound him. They captured him. Matthew 27, verse 26. Said they scourged Jesus. The whip going across the back of the Son of God. And John's Gospel 19, verse 23. Crucified Jesus. You'll read these words. As I said in Acts 2, verse 36, he said, whom ye crucified. In Matthew 27, verse 20, the people said, destroy Jesus. And they took the Lord Jesus, the spotless Son of God, and then nailed him to the cross. And he died, and he shed his blood. I say to you tonight, why did he do this? He died to save us. That's why he died. Remember, they looked up into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ and they said, come down from the cross. Well, dear friends, he never came down. Because he died to save us. He shed his blood to save us. He shed his blood to put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. And Peter is preaching here the name for salvation. It's a name of Jesus Christ, he's telling them. You want everlasting life? There's the one who can give it to you. This is the one. This is the one God sent into the world to be our Savior. He died for us. Oh, I said, you're unsaved tonight in this meeting. What does this mean to you tonight about the death of the Son of God dying for us upon the cross? Of course, it's a powerful name as well. Because in verse 10, remember, he has said to him, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom he crucified, who God raised from the dead, had this deed been done, because they had healed this man who had been lame from birth. You can read about that over in Acts chapter 3. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ, not tremendous, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And this man got up and walked, never walked in his life. And Peter's showing him here, there's power in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a powerful name. That's why this man's walking. Listen, it's the name of the Lord Jesus that saves us. It tells us in Acts 10, verse 43, I want you to listen to these words. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, now that's the name of Jesus Christ, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Listen, it's in the name of Jesus Christ you get your sins forgiven. How can I become a child of God? Listen to these words in John 1 and the verse 12. And as many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You see, it's a name of Jesus Christ. We become the sons of God. What about eternal life? John 20, verse 31. But these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life, listen, through his name. You see, it's the name of Jesus Christ to get forgiveness of sins. It's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ you're brought into God's family. It's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have eternal life. He's a mighty Savior. And Peter is preaching, here's the name for salvation. It's the name of Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross. This is the one you need. And I'm glad that's the message of our church, our denomination. And I'm glad that's the message I go around preaching. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. You're unsaved in this meeting tonight and far away from God. You need Christ to be your Savior. You'll never be saved without Him. He's the Savior of the world. He came into the world and bled and died. He's the one who saves us. He's the one who can take away your sin. His blood can wash you, make you whiter than the snow. That's the name for salvation. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to get that tonight in this meeting. This is the message that Peter and John here were preaching about the name for salvation. And then he also spoke about the nether of salvation. For he says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's not that he is the way to heaven. Peter's very plain on this, but he's the only way. And he's saying to these people, there's no other name, no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Well, some people could say, what about the name of saints? Well, some people, especially Roman Catholics, maybe some Roman Catholics tonight in the meeting, hear me out on this. They say the name of Mary. Oh, the name of Mary, get you into heaven. One particular quote I have here by a bishop said, the way of salvation is open to none otherwise than through Mary. Mary is called the gate of heaven. And so there are Roman Catholics tonight, and they're calling, listen, on the name of Mary for salvation. On the name of Mary for everlasting life. And I say to any tonight, if there's any Roman Catholics in this meeting, I don't mean to offend anybody. But you're calling the wrong name. You're calling the wrong name. Mary can't heal you. Mary can't save you. Peter says, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one name. The name of Jesus Christ. People call in the wrong name. They're calling him Mary. People call the name of different other saints as well. Some people say the name of Peter, name of Paul. Then what about these false so-called saints? Muhammad. Oh, you've got a call in the name of Muhammad. He'll get you in. Or Joseph Smith or Terence Russell. There are people calling on the name of so-called saints. Well, that's the wrong name. God never said salvation in those things or those names. People are calling on the name of services. What I mean by this, baptism. You speak to people about their soul, about their sin. Oh, I've been baptized. Is that it? I've been confirmed. I've been at the communion table, you know. And so they call the name of services for salvation. But dear friends, these things may play a part in the Christian life, but those things don't save you. It's not those names. It's not the name of church. Some people say, well, I go to the Good Shepherd. How I go to St. John's. Or the Methodist Church, the name of the Methodist. I go to the Pentecostal. Listen, or the Free Presbyterian Church. And I'm a Free Presbyterian. But the Free Presbyterian Church can't save you. Can't save you. And there are people calling on the name of their church. And they're trusting in the name of their church. But there's no other name. There's no other name, friends. But the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the name of churches. Some people has their own name. My name. It's my name. I have a good name in the community. I have a good name in the church. Oh, people know my deeds, my works, my prayers, my almsgiving. Oh, it's my name. And I ask you tonight, are you trusting your name for salvation? Your own name? And there are people doing that. They're trusting their own name. It's what I do. It's all I do this. I do that. Is it the name of love? Is it the name of the law? Cain tried his own name, his own works, and dear friends, he failed. There is another salvation. Neither is there salvation, none other, but another name under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. You'll never find salvation outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how sincere you are in doing what you're doing and believing what you're believing. There's no salvation outside of Christ. As I said, it's not that he is the way to heaven, and he is. But he's the only way. And if you miss the only way, you're lost. You're lost, friends. And maybe there's some tonight in this meeting, God has spoken to you. You've been trying some other name. Name of your parents, the name of the church, the name of yourself, the name of your works. But God has shown you tonight, these things will never, they will never save you. You need to come to Jesus Christ. There's no salvation in any other, friends. So you need to repent, turn from your sin, put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is the great news of the gospel. If you do that tonight in this meeting, he'll save you. He'll save you tonight in this meeting. He'll give you everlasting life tonight in this meeting. If anyone's troubling you, you'd like to be saved, speak with me. Speak to some of the elders or deacons, whatever the case may be. But don't go home tonight without Christ. Come and trust him. He will save you. Not great news. I love that great verse in the Bible, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He will take you in. He will save you. Trust him with all your heart, or it's too late. And may God give you the grace to trust him tonight in this meeting. May God write his word upon our hearts. Let's just close in a wee word of prayer. Pray indeed God has spoken to hearts. And anybody, any questions, then do speak with us.